Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Within the pages of From Black to Blue, a memoir by Ed Cook, you will see through the eyes of a young boy, death up close and personal. Also, you will understand Southern law in action, causing absolute fear to the bones. As Ed moved forward, leaving the South, traveling to Chicago at a very young age, well, this caused the young fellow to grow up at a fast pace. Moving to Los Angeles was and is the life-changing experience. While living in Los Angeles and attending Los Angeles City College and California State University at Los Angeles, he entered the field of law enforcement and subsequently became the first black officer to work LAPD SWAT. From Pine Bluff to serving on one of the most fierce police agencies in America. From Black to Blue, a spellbinding, deeply emotional account of Ed's plight to overcome disappointment and accomplish that particular success that he sought. Recipient of the prestigious Plume Award for Literary Excellence, and author Ed Cook is our guest on This Week in America. Ed, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you. It's very good to be here with you.
What a story you have, and I want to start from the very beginning. I just touched on your background. Tell us a little bit about yourself, then we'll get to Los Angeles, and really the trailblazing path that you had in your career in Los Angeles. Talk about growing up.
Well, as I have indicated, I grew up, I was born in Arkansas, Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Grew up at a fast pace. As a matter of fact, from there, I was educated in Arkansas, and we were in a segregated community. Ended up going to college there in Arkansas, and got married at an early age and subsequently moved to Chicago. And from Chicago, I finally moved to California and have been here ever since. From 1964 is when I moved here to California.
And talk about that adjustment from Pine Bluff to Chicago. I mentioned that was an eye-opener. And then eyes open even more when you move to Los Angeles. What was that like making those transitions?
Ironically, each transition I made was a good one. I do remember way back, I believe 1949 was my first real encounter with the police. And that was in Pine Bluff, but at that time we did not recognize the police as the police. Everyone called the police the law. That's what it was called.
Interesting.
And I witnessed a death at a very young age. And the first was the lady on the side of my grandfather's honky tonk. And that just really scared the daylights out of me. When the law showed up, they had the big antennas on the back of the car. My sister had told me those antennas were used as whips to beat people with. And being as young as I was, I knew no difference. But from there, after I had an uncle that I used to watch all the time, his picture, he was a Chicago policeman. But he his name was Wilson, Fedor Wilson. Well, actually, Dennis Wilson, but we call him Fedor. And he subsequently was killed on the Chicago Police Department. But after going to Chicago, I worked on various jobs, but never, ever did I want to be a police officer in Chicago. It just was not an entertaining type occupation for me. And after my wife, who I was married to at that time, had been to Los Angeles numerous times. Ironically, she used to tell me about tacos and burritos. I had no idea what a taco or burrito was. She would describe it, but it made no sense. Because during that time in Chicago, they didn't have tacos and burritos. And so we decided to come to California, and initially it was for a vacation. We packed up, We drove to Arkansas first and visited the people. And then from Arkansas, we hit Route 66 and came to California.
Yes. And the tacos and the burritos apparently were so good, you decided to stay in Los Angeles, didn't you?
That is exactly right. Initially, we got to California and Los Angeles. We got here like 4:30 in the morning. And there was, and I wanted to know, what is a taco? All the way I'm asking, what's a taco? It's called Taco Lisa. And it was located on Manchester, right at Central Avenue. I'll never forget that. 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, we went to Taco Lisa because I wanted a taco, and she ordered me a taco. I have to say, I did not like the taco. It was nothing. I don't know what I expected, but what I really expected. Also, she had told me about Watts, and I couldn't wait to see Watts. So after we had the taco, we went to look at Watts. And to me, coming from Chicago, Watts looked like Beverly Hills to me. In Chicago, you don't have houses that are different colors, but I looked at the houses in Watts. Some was yellow, some was pink, some was white. The grass was manicured perfectly well. I had not witnessed that before in my life, and I'm thinking, this is Watts. He says, oh, yeah, this is bad. I said, this is Beverly Hills.
Well, yeah, in comparison to what you had in Chicago, it's a fascinating story. Ed Cook is the author and our guest. The book is From Black to Blue. You'll find the book, for example, writersrepublic.com at the bookshop. We'll give you all this information on our website, writersrepublic.com. And again, it's in the bookshop there, From Black to Blue by Ed Cook. You get out to Los Angeles. You weren't going to stay there. And you get there, and then you have this desire to pursue a career in law enforcement. How did that happen? When did that start? And keep in mind, as Ed tells the story, we're dealing with the mid-60s here. So this is a very volatile time in history, not only in Los Angeles, but all across our country.
Absolutely. You know, even though we were here initially to be on vacation, but we drove here. Which I forgot to mention, we had a new car. It was a 64 light blue Thunderbird. At that time, Thunderbirds was nice cars.
Oh, yes.
The upper echelon drove cars like that, Cadillacs, Oldsmobiles, Thunderbirds. And my wife was driving the car southbound on Central Avenue at Gage. She was stopped by the police. We had never witnessed anything. They pulled her to the side, pulled her out of the car. And I know we don't have a lot of time, but she was put out on the ground. They took everything out of the car, including the back seat, took everything out of the trunk, including the spare tire, the jack, threw it on the ground. And they were searching. They figured she had to be a drug dealer. Number one, she was in an expensive car. She was in a high frequency, what they call 647B area. And because of that and the Illinois license plate, none of it fit. And they took this out, looked everywhere, treated her really, really mean, couldn't find anything, picked her up off the ground, wrote her a ticket for driving too slow.
Oh.
And they took off.
Incredible.
So, that's one of the things that brought the LAPD to my attention. And she insisted that I would go and tell somebody about this, make a complaint about it. So I did. My father-in-law said, no, you cannot do that. I say, oh, I've got to, because my wife say I got to complain. Went over to the police station. To make a long story short, some fellow who was also there to make a complaint ended up getting a real outrageous beat down by the police, which in essence, it was for me, but it turned out to be him who got it instead.
Wow.
So that kind of drew my attention. But all in all, some of these things are the what caused me to really want to gravitate toward the police department.
And you'll find all of this in Ed's memoir. The book is From Black to Blue. You'll find it at writersrepublic.com at the bookshop, available, of course, wherever books are sold. Time is going by so quickly. Let's talk about your work in the LAPD. What was that like? And then becoming the first African-American to be in the SWAT unit. Talk about that. I mean, you were a trailblazer back at that time. And again, time frame, we're talking mid-60s here. What was it like in the police department and being part of the SWAT team?
The police department, once I was successful, as a matter of fact, it took 4 years of constant ins and out and trying and failures and successes before I finally was certified to go into the academy with the police department. And once I did, as I remember, in the 60s, there were 164 people in my academy class, of which five were black officers. The others was a mixture that was in the police department at this time. Once I graduated from the police department, I accelerated at a very fast pace. And I think it was due to the fact that I was never in service. I felt I'd missed something. And of course, the police department is a quasi-military outfit.
Yes.
So once I was assigned to a Wilshire Division, and I worked Wilshire Division patrol, and I excelled. I was in the upper 10 percentile as far as rating was concerned. I worked Wilshire Vice. I also worked administrative narcotics, public affairs, 77th patrol, and I was actually invited to join the police department by Chief Gates. That is the real reason that I meant the SWAT team.
Yes.
The SWAT team was Chief Gates' baby. He loved the SWAT team. All his SWAT personnel were mainly hand-picked to do that. I had been in a shooting prior to going and being chosen to go to SWAT. But other than that, I had worked all around, done a lot of things. And once I got into SWAT, I was chosen for SWAT just as the SLA. Most people are not familiar with that, but the Sudanese Liberation Army.
Oh, of course, yes.
SLA shootout that occurred in 74. At the time, I had just going into SWAT. And during that shootout, of course, I was used to reload magazines because we had a limited amount of weapons at the time. So that was a horrifying thing. But I guess I was full of adrenaline and never thought that for one moment that it was a dangerous situation. But it turned out that the house was subsequently burnt down, and the faction that was there was actually destroyed. And the reason that happened, I don't know if you know or not, but there was a certain young lady who had been kidnapped by these SLA people, Patty Hearst.
Patty Hearst, of course, yes.
Very, very wealthy lady. Her dad owned numerous magazines and newspapers. The Herald Examiner was one of his favorites. And she was thought to be in that house on 54th and Compton, but in fact, she was not. But the unique thing about that is there was a certain guy called Donald David DeFries. Donald David DeFries had a nickname of SinQ. I had had an encounter with Donald David DeFries earlier. I had been involved in his arrest at a bank. It was called the SPNB, Security Pacific National Bank, which was located at Stalker and Crenshaw. and I'd had a shootout with Donald David DeFries. And I do believe that was the reason he was in jail, in prison at that time, that he had broken out.
So such amazing stories, and that all comes to life in Ed's book, so well written, Ed Cook, From Black to Blue. You'll find the book at writersrepublic.com, the usual places, links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. When you joined the police force, and then at the urging of Commissioner Gates, legendary police commissioner in Los Angeles, how were you accepted by other officers and by the community? As you mentioned, you were one of a minority, really a minority at that time. How was your acceptance by fellow officers and by people in the community?
That was something that was an obstacle that I had to overcome. Number one, I was the first and only Black member of the SWAT team. That was a no-no. There were no Black guys, and it was a society, more or less, that certain good old boys, if you will.
Yes.
That's the name. The community did not like that. As a matter of fact, from the community, as a result of the SLA shootout, the community was making a lot of complaints about where are the Black officers, because during that time, the cameras focused on all of the officers who was doing the shooting with the SLA and who were helping, assisting people from the parole. But that's when they began putting my picture on TV, on the news. Every time we had a SWAT call up, they would put my picture on to show the public that, in fact, we do have a Black guy working SWAT. And I think that was one of the instrumental things also, because the community was creating a lot of problems about why are there other officers other than Black officers in SWAT, and is it that they are here to shoot up the place and burn down the houses?
At that time, we start really asking some hard questions about law enforcement in Los Angeles and across the country. When you think back during those times and see where we are now, are we making significant progress, do you feel?
In my opinion, I would say there has been a tremendous amount of progress made. I do remember that Mayor Bradley, I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but
oh,
Mayor
yes.
Bradley was a Los Angeles police officer. Mayor Bradley used to bump heads with the chief all the time. All right, Mayor Bradley reached the rank of lieutenant, and he subsequently decided to become a city councilman, and from that he became the mayor of LA, I believe a three-term mayor, if I'm not mistaken. And it's kind of hard to figure this out, but he had different rules and different regulations and different ambitions as to where the police department should go. And Chief Gates had his own rules and own regulations, who I think is the best chief the police department has ever had in life.
You know, it's amazing, and the story unfolds so well in Ed's book, his memoir, From Black to Blue. A few minutes left in the program. Boy, we've really gone very quickly over your career and so much to talk about, and read the book. And it's one of those where it's a real page turner. You'll start reading and not want to put the book down. What do you hope people take away? What's the takeaway from the book, From Black to Blue, do you think?
I feel that the book really will reveal that while the police, in essence, a lot of people don't know policemen, don't understand that they are human. I think it will introduce and let people from all walks of life understand more about the insights of what goes on within the police department, let the police department more or less show the human side of a person, who he is, what he is, and that you're really there for the community, not there for yourself.
Talk about, and I got a couple of minutes here, I want to talk about leaving the police department and what you've done with your career after that, besides becoming now a successful writer. Talk about leaving, your termination with the LAPD.
After leaving the police department for a minute, I became a general contractor building houses. From that, I went to becoming a bail bondsman. A California bail bondsman. I am a bail bondsman now, have been for in excess of 30 years, and I own my own bail bond company. And I find that it is very rewarding because I'm not only do I redeem myself for all of the arrests I made, but I take a lot of people out of jail. And I also put a lot of people back in jail, too.
Well, okay, it's an interesting story. And the book is full of interesting stories, a real trailblazer from black to blue. In talking bail bondsman, we hear so much about, boy, we lock up, it seems like, everybody. And for so many people, we make it extremely difficult for them to get out of jail. What may seem like a reasonable bond to some is a life savings for other people. Do you see the system changing any? First of all, is it wrong, and do we need changes in the system?
You know, there are numerous changes in the system from this simple 30 years that I've been a bail bondsman. It turns out a lot of people cannot afford to bail out of jail. But if you really stop and think about it, the system has changed so much now until pretty much the only people who are kept in jail that are in need of a bail at this time is crimes of violence.
Yes.
A lot of crimes have been decriminalized now.
I'm going to take 30 seconds here at the end. This is such a fascinating story. You went into it with the clear vision of your wife and how she was treated, the recollection of the police department with the antennas they used to whip black people. When you got in, what did you find? And this is unfair to ask this question with a 30 or 60 second time limit, but what did you find, and did you feel you were able to make a difference by being there really at a very crucial stage for law enforcement in the country?
You know, that was my main purpose, to make a difference when going in. And ironically, when I became a policeman, I ran into numerous black males who would say, "How did you get that job? I wanted to be one. I feel I could help if I'm one of them." I said, "That's exactly why I became a cop, to make a difference." Ironically, I don't know if I really made a difference or not. I tried, but I'm not sure if I did.
We find out all of this in the story, and it wasn't like a smooth coast. Once Ed got in, a lot of no's, and he had to overcome rejection to get where he is with the stature and the SWAT division and what he's done with the rest of his life. It's a fascinating story and inspiring, a riveting story. The book is From Black to Blue. Ed Cook is the author, C-O-O-K, the common spelling of Cook. Book available wherever books are sold. We'll direct you to writersrepublic.com and the bookshop, the publisher of the book. Information, of course, is on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Ed, it's been a pleasure, sir, to have you on the program. Thank you so much. Congratulations on the success of your career as a bail bondsman, and certainly now as a successful, award-winning published author. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure meeting with you.
Ed Cook, our guest. The book is From Black to Blue, writersrepublic.com, and the bookshop, a great place to find it. Link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.